morning. Today is Monday, January the 25th, 25th day of the new year. Joining us this morning from Security National is Mike Wilcutt. He's the guy in charge of all the properties. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You like to be back on the North Coast?
I do. It's always nice getting home, especially when I travel around the country this time of year. I never complain about the rain or the fog after having dealt with snow and ice and airport delays.
Yeah. It's always nice to reacquaint yourself with the dog and the cat, too, huh?
It is, absolutely. Yes.
Our quote this morning, believe it or not, we've got one that is going to tie into the topics this morning. This is from Alan Ramsay. It's a Scottish proverb, sourced in 1737. The gravest fish is an oyster.
Interesting.
And there were seven or eight other ones to choose from also.
Who knew?
Yeah, not me. Before we get into the cool stuff that's going on out on the North Spit, Mike, can you give us a quick update on the choo-choo trains and just some of that stuff? It's not, I mean, it's a visual that a lot of people see.
Sure, absolutely. Well, they're definitely highly visible and it's amazing the amount of interest that people have taken in those. I guess we'd say it's a classic example of addition by subtraction. And I think all of us have been surprised, frankly, by the timeline it's taken to get those removed. I could fill up my entire time here today just, you know, explaining the logistics and various regulatory agencies involved in that sort of project, which is seemingly quite simple, but certainly not. I can say that we've made some substantial progress over the last couple of months. One of the locomotives has been removed. One is being, for lack of a better term, chopped up and removed piecemeal. And then there's the rest will be removed by a lowboy that is actually being manufactured right now in the Central Valley specifically for the purpose. Because as you can imagine, it's a highly specialized piece of equipment that's just not, you know, lying around at your local rental yard to use.
So when that is then on the lowboy and it leaves, this is more than a wide load, right? Or does it still fit the normal standards and they'll be able just to have the little truck in the front with the flashing light saying wide load? And
they will definitely have that. One of the other things that they have to do is they physically have a width restriction. I believe it's 12 feet, and it's a pretty brutal science, but they basically go along the length of it with a cutting torch, and anything that exceeds that 12 feet just gets hacked off. So, you know, you have the length is not really a concern. The width obviously is. It's really the weight. And so, as you can imagine, the Highway Patrol takes a definite interest in something of this size being moved. So definitely will be is and will be coordinated with them. And
something about bridges?
Correct. Bridges. Okay. No lollygagging on bridges and whatnot. But my understanding is that the Highway Patrol will be escorting, actually, these loads, given their size.
KINS News and Information Times, 819.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilcutt from Security National. Mike, we've heard comments, discussions that there's stuff going on around the bay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. Most of us stay on the developed side of that body of water, you know, we're driving up and down 101, whether we're coming into work from Fortuna or down from McKinleyville or putzing around in the Eureka Arcata area, don't see an awful lot of activity, signs of cool stuff. So when we hear activity on the bay, is there stuff going on out in the spit?
Absolutely. That's something I've been very excited to work on over the last couple of years, and something that we as a company are very interested in doing, promoting activity on the bay, especially in the context of the history of the bay and all the industry that used to be on the bay and how it essentially has just been fallow ground for the most part, especially on the west side of the bay for many, many years now. Specifically, what's come to the forefront over the last couple of years is the aquaculture industry, oyster production, brooding, growing, producing, shipping. And that's really picked up momentum over the last couple of years. And so we have one project currently going right now, which I anticipate breaking ground on the building probably within the next 4 weeks. And then I have another larger project that I've been working on for about a year that if everything goes according to plan, I would anticipate breaking ground probably in the fall. Both of them are friendly competitors doing exactly the same thing, but it's a very small industry. Everybody seems to know everybody else, but they've been very happy, for lack of a better word, with the results so far. And Humboldt Bay, for whatever reason, and I'm certainly no biologist or chemist, it seems to grow oysters very quickly, which makes them happy. And based on some regulatory constraints in other parts of the West Coast, they have discovered Humboldt Bay, and we certainly have been greeting them with open arms, and it seems like the regulatory agencies are on board with that use as well. So we're really excited about that.
Do more oysters mean less crabs?
No, they're not mutually exclusive. The crabs are well served over on the east side here, along the street, or the Eureka seafront, I should say.
And yeah, you can say the street side.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
The other side, really, yeah, it's more sand. Yeah.
But these are, you know, the crabs obviously are trapped out in the ocean. That's when the season's open. And the oysters will be, are currently, you know, being grown in racks out in the bay. But these facilities will be nurseries, really. And so it's more than just the piece where you see the oysters, you know, when you're going over the bridges.
Seagulls won't be perched on top of them?
That is we hope not. So, yeah, that it's...
Are you going to get a phone call?
I bet. I may very well, yes.
So what are we talking about? You know, for those of us who have been around for a little bit, we kind of sort of maybe remember the footprint of the pulp mills,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and had that ratio of X number of cars for that size. What is this going to look like?
Well, the facilities typically, the first facility that we'll be breaking ground on will be around 10,000 square foot, and these are highly specialized buildings. Again, the learning curve is steep on this. When I first envisioned these projects, I pictured a big metal building with some tanks in it and guys with forklifts and whatnot. But these are very specialized buildings that have greenhouses for growing of algae to feed to the brood stock, an area for the brood stock, nurseries, various tanks. They have chemists on staff, biologists on staff that are constantly monitoring the water conditions for optimal growth. It's a financial.
Is like FDA there also kind of like a sausage place where they're monitoring? Yeah,
I would imagine so. I'm not sure exactly what.
Not that granular yet.
Yeah,
huh?
No, I'm the guy who builds them the building, and so it's definitely been impressive, and in terms also of just the financial investment that these companies will be making in the area, and the employees that they'll have. These are going to be good paying jobs, and again, as I said, they'll
spill the beans, bud. You can't get that close and not deliver. What do you think? You know, how many jobs?
There, in the rough estimates right now for the smaller project that I'm working on is between 20 and 30 folks, and the larger project could be upwards of 60, 70. And these are going to be jobs that, you know, run the spectrum of, you know, guys in waterproof gear out hauling the racks out of the bay. That's the job I don't want to have.
That's really close to green chain, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And then the people, you know, in lab coats, constantly testing the water and whatnot. So they invest millions of dollars into these facilities. So they obviously want, you know, to maximize their return.
So driving by, it's probably not going to look particularly impressive.
It's going to be very unexciting driving by.
But you're not going to stop and go, wow, there's something cool going on there.
Chances are you won't even know what it is when you drive by these buildings. I think that said, I think both will, well, at least the first one, when they're complete, will have an open house because it's something that they really want to promote. And it's, you know, it's environmentally friendly. It's great for our local economy. It's just it's exciting to work on a project that just really has no downside. It's a fantastic development and one I've taken a lot of pleasure in working on over the last year or two.
And being challenged mentally.
Oh, absolutely. Just in my spare time, I work on
that. Where's the sauce, man?
Correct.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilcott, who is in charge of real estate for Security National. Are you in charge of real estate, or you're one of the real estate guys?
By default, I'm in charge.
Ooh.
Yes.
I suppose I ought to have a certain amount of respect then, huh?
No, that's okay.
Okay, good.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I can't spell the word anyway. Love the song, can't spell that word, you know, the beginning of it. Yeah. Oh, boy. So, Mike, what is it like to try to work and develop out on the spit? I mean, if there's anything that is going to be subject to the California Coastal Commission, I can't imagine there could be anything. Well, maybe it was located in Malibu or in Santa Barbara.
Well, you'd still have the Coastal Commission there
right.
as well, yeah.
Having it on both sides, sure. But having a much larger community that's watching everything that's going on. How is it to work out there? Is it interesting? Is it what you expect? I mean, lessons learned, obviously, so it's not as rough this time as it was last time. But is it as traumatic as what we hear from folks?
I can only speak from my perspective, which is, you know, most closely associated with this aquaculture use. And when you look at that sort of use, it is such a coastal compliant use that my experience has been that the Coastal Commission is, you know, very much on board with that use. And so, you know, in a relative sense, it's been easy to deal with them as well as the other various regulatory agencies. I think to a certain extent, a lot of that is probably us getting smarter in how we're dealing with these agencies and laying the foundation and the groundwork and planning. That's why these projects take so long, as we, you know, we've learned how to navigate, you know, through these regulatory waters, I call them, to get our projects done and keep some semblance of a timeline. But, you know, this is, again, something that's really gathered steam over the last couple of of years. I've had, you know, historically, I've had other types of users inquire about the property we have out on the spit, and those weren't received as warmly, and oftentimes, you know, our reputation precedes us, and by us I mean, you know, the California and the regulations that are, you know, the requirements that any company will have to deal with and whatnot in their development.
So anybody looking at California knows it's going to be finding that needle in the haystack to be able to get that project completed.
Very much so. And even beyond that, you know, Humboldt County is I would say at the
small needle.
Yes, exactly. So we have projects going in other parts of the country, and that's, you know, I would say there's a pretty big dichotomy between those states and California, just from a timeline standpoint. It seems like things
give us a reference. I mean, it doesn't need to be a specific project or yeah, you know, pick a state.
I'll pick Nebraska. We have Nebraska is a conservative state, and they have they're very easy to deal with. They're very pro business. They have folks that basically are tasked with just helping you navigate through these projects, and because they're interested in increasing their tax base and getting, you know, getting companies in. And a lot of my job is dealing with these projects in our existing properties and bringing in as a liaison between, you know, a large corporate interest that's looking to perhaps expand in a state or relocate and that sort of thing. And so it goes a long way, you know, the tax incentives, there's a lot that goes into attracting those companies. It's so competitive. Omaha, Nebraska actually just lost one of their huge corporate headquarters. ConAgra is relocating out to Chicago, and that was a fist fight. That was between Chicago and Omaha, and frankly, Chicago won, and that to the detriment of Omaha. And people are very worried out in Omaha right now.
And so, how did Illinois, which you don't think of as necessarily being competitive, be able to beat Nebraska?
Well,
they
were very aggressive with their tax strategy for ConAgra. I don't know the particulars of what was. I can tell you, not coincidentally, the relatively new CEO of ConAgra was from Chicago.
Okay.
So maybe he had season tickets to the Cubs or something. He didn't want to give those up. But, you know, it's little things like that. And that's, you know, in the context of looking at, you know, the big picture and bringing those, you know, companies and industrial companies to Humboldt, that's really where we have to elevate our game, get out, promote ourselves, and really show that we are business friendly, and that we there's not this regulatory headwind, and that's very much a that's out there. That companies already know. Oh, okay. Well, if we're going to look at doing a project here, there's a lot of hoops we're going to have to jump through.
General references of things have changed, or specific net granular details for businesses to look at locating in Humboldt County.
I would say it's getting better. The trend is getting better, and frankly, I'm not smart enough or involved enough in all the various processes and ways in which we attract local or out of state or out of area companies to the area. But I will just say, from my end of things, being a leasing guy, a properties guy, that it's better than at any point I've seen over the last 10 to 15 years.
So your willingness to talk to and to work with?
Correct. And I think it's also the fact that we are pivoting away from you know, our industries that maybe have you know, historically been the backbone of this community. We have to adapt. If you don't adapt, you're not gonna be viable. So I think, you know, things again along the lines of the aquaculture and those sorts of uses, things that 10, 15 years ago none of us had ever heard of, that really is where the future lies in getting these companies to come in.
Just a small little bump in the road.
Yes, yeah. just little.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilcott.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilcott. So, Mike, what should we be looking for with some of the cool stuff that you've kind of allowed? When are we going to see the trains disappear? When are we going to see some of the action going on over on the spit?
You're really pinning me down, aren't you?
Well, we all need something to look forward to.
All right, let me get my crystal ball out here. And
okay, it's got a couple cracks in it, so there's always a plus or minus.
Like Karnak.
I miss him too.
My expectation, you will see significant activity, if not everything removed off the balloon track by the end of February. That's my expectation. Once again, it's just a matter of logistics at this point. We had some regulatory issues and things that, you know, we had to satisfy and get all our permits and keep everybody happy there. Now that that's been done, really now it's just down to the work part of it.
The do.
Correct. Yeah. And then as far as the other projects we're working on, my expectation, again, is to break ground probably in about 4 weeks as well for the Hog Island project. And then the other one will be in the fall. Again, that's assuming, you know, we get through the permitting process and everybody plays nice.
Is that county out on the spit or is that the city that you're
county
to work with?
Okay. Yeah, that's the county out there. And they've been good to deal with. They're on board. So, I think as I sit here this morning, I'm cautiously optimistic. Ask me again in 6 months.
Yeah, fair enough. Out. Okay, you got 45 seconds, so you can filibuster if you want. Anything cooking with the balloon track, or is that kind of on the side right now?
We're always looking at opportunities and things that we would like to do with the property. One of the things, and I think Rob has been on previously and spoken about, you know, this idea of these incubator spaces for smaller industrial type buildings, and that's something that I'm working on as well, and that's in the planning stages, and I would look for a few of those buildings to be built over the next year, and right now I'm working on securing some tenants for those, but it remains a vision for us and something that we would definitely like to see be developed someday and be a real addition and bonus for the community.
And there's demand.
There is demand. There is demand, but, you know, we've also, quite frankly, been off the radar screen for a few years with that project. And projects like that are all about momentum, and so we have to build it.
All right, and I'll break out the cattle prod here.
Yeah, thank you.
If you hear a scream before the end of the show, it's Mike. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.